This is Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Sumich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Sumich, mainly an update for you fantasy players out there, or anytime touchdown bettors, I guess. Chris Rodriguez into the end zone after a pass interference call gets them first and goal at the 1 yard line, and he punches it in. So Rodriguez in, they go for two. McNichols gets the two. Can't imagine you had to start him in fantasy or anything, but McNichols.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, McNichols gets the two. 29-18 makes it 11. So they have announced for an onside kick. So we will see if they can convert this. That said, you know, you're still feeling pretty good about your seven right here, because they would still, a field goal still makes sense for the Commanders in this one. So they don't have to score a touchdown. A field goal still makes sense if they're really trying to win this thing, which is, as you brought up on the break, Mike, odd considering you basically waved the white flag a little bit ago.
Yeah, the fourth and sixth punt, yet we're going to go for two here and then try an onside kick with less than 2 minutes left. Like, really? Like, where was this urgency? Yeah. I don't know. Literally 7 minutes of game time ago, yeah, when you could have just gone for it, when the game was still in doubt. The game is not in doubt anymore. It was still in doubt when they decided to punt.
Yeah, it's crazy stuff here with that one. James Madison goes down. They, despite moving the ball pretty well, and the Ducks do have to settle for a field goal, and it was up and good. So 6-3 now there in that one, as the field goal, if they went for it, I mean, I know you were saying field goals aren't going to win it. It was a pretty long, I think it was like fourth and nine.
It was fourth and six.
It was six.
No, it was fourth and six. You got to go for, like, look, the Ducks are going to score 30 plus points in this game. Mm. Their offense cuts you up like butter. They had multiple guys running open downfield. They were able to run the ball for 10 plus yards multiple times. Like, you're going to need touchdowns if you want to stay in this football game. You cannot trade touchdowns for field goals, and the Ducks are the ones getting the touchdowns. I think, look, you got it. You are a huge dog. You have to play into variance, and playing into variance means going for it when you're on the 15-yard line of Oregon. You're not going to have as many solid drives as Oregon is going to have in this game. Yours need to result in touchdowns.
So it is recovered by Devontae Smith. He goes down. That will be knees here. Hopefully you don't lose your fantasy contest by like 0.4 points as Jalen Hurts. If you have Jalen Hurts as your quarterback, because he's going to be taking knees here. Oh, they put in McKee so that Hurts didn't lose his yards.
Cash your McKee over carries prop. Over a half carry going to get home on these knees.
He handed it off. What are you doing? Oh, because they have three. I guess they're assuming the Commanders are going to use their timeouts. Like, they have three timeouts. Are they really going to use them down 11 with a minute left in the game? They are. Oh, my.
I mean, they onside kicked. So at this point, you're bought in. Although, again, you punted it down 11 on fourth and six with 8 minutes left. Like, what are we doing?
Okay. So Washington's just going to extend the inevitable here. And so anyway, down 11, a minute left. They're going to call all three timeouts. And then, so great. Cool. Good job. Way to make us have to hang out here a little bit longer.
If Washington covers the seven, this is a brutal beat. It is a brutal beat for Eagles Packers if Washington somehow gets the football back and, like, Hail Marys it in the end zone on the final play.
Jalen Hurts' day is done. 22 of 30, 185, two touchdowns, no interceptions. He was sacked twice, and he ran seven times for 40 yards. I know a lot of people are going to be pretty happy about that if you're an Eagles backer or if you have long-term Eagles stuff. I'm going to cash this division ticket, Mike, tonight, which is good. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was in doubt there for a little bit. I thought the Cowboys were live. I thought the Cowboys had a chance to maybe come and chase them down. I'll take the ticket, you know, don't get me wrong, but I don't know how much I buy into this team long-term with all that. That said, Jalen Hurts running more is good, I think, for sure. You want to see that if you're an Eagles backer as well. And certainly AJ Brown being incredibly involved, 9 for 95 with 12 targets in the game.
Yes. I mean, again, another good performance from the Eagles against a very bad defense, against a very bad football team. I cannot take them seriously when they win these games like this. I need to see them play good teams and then to build confidence in my ability to say that, like, this is a good football team. I think the NFC is a very difficult conference, and it's hard for me to see the Eagles being able to run through it in the playoffs because this offense has these moments where they just don't look good.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a first down for Tank Bigsby, so the game's over. So there's at least that. We will not be prolonging this one any longer. So the Eagles will move on 29-18, 11-point victory, cover any and all numbers out there. And if, again, they were telling the truth, three survivors will move on as well. So we'll see, again, the official reel of that in an hour here on the contest show here on VSiN. Mike, let's continue rolling through these NFL games. We do still have the Green Bay Chicago game coming to you in about 15 minutes, point and a half in favor of Chicago at home. Kansas City Chiefs on the road at the Tennessee Titans. Mike, 2.5s are popping out there. People are not buying into Gardner Minshew here in this Chiefs team going on the road after losing Patrick Mahomes and this offensive line being a mess. And all of that, people are taking the threes with Tennessee. You can still find a three at DraftKings and MGM, but it's 2.5 at FanDuel and Caesars and Circa and Fanatics. 37.5 is the total.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not just the Gardner Minshew effect. This is one of those where, like, it's that soul-crushing game where you know you're not going to make the playoffs for the first time in 7 years after going to the AFC title game 7 straight years. You lose Mahomes. The defections from this team. So Rashee Rice not going to play. We found out Jalen Moore not going to play. The Chris Jones pops up on the injury report. Like it is more than just Minshew switching out. You can kind of feel the air coming out of that Chiefs building before they even take the field here against the Titans. I took some +3 on the Titans when I started to see all of these injuries, the injury report coming out, because all of a sudden guys who, you know, were able to play, weren't banged up, all of a sudden they're just like, yeah, I'm good. I don't need to be back out there again. So to me, this is I'm expecting an uninspired Chiefs team, and I think the Titans can at least keep this close. So I put a small bet on the Titans +3 out there just because of the way this is all, the way that the vibes coming out of the Kansas City, that the Kansas City locker room have been progressing as we go throughout this week.
Trent McDuffie, Jalen Moore, Rashee Rice, Juwan Taylor, Tyquan Thornton, all out for the Chiefs in this one. Of course, Patrick Mahomes, the most important guy that is out in this one, as the Oregon Ducks waste no time, march right down the field, get back in the end zone again. So
How's your field goal, James Madison?
Yeah, I know. You trot out the left-footed kicker, the wrong-footed kicker. He made it, but right down the field, 5 plays, 75 yards, and into the end zone for the Ducks. On the Titans side of things, I will say this. They have no talent, Mike, but they try. You can see they give it a go, which it's commendable, right? I mean, like, they just don't have any, they just got no juice, but they play hard.
And they've been stopping the run well as well. This has been a Titans run defense. It's gotten better as the year has progressed, and that could be a problem for a Kansas City run offense. It's not explosive. That means it's on Gardner Minshew's shoulders. The pass rush, if Chris Jones doesn't go, is basically non-existent for this Kansas City Chiefs team. That's another problem when you're like, and I get it, Cam Ward not lighting the world on fire, but you're out your number one cornerback. You have concerns in the back of your head around effort. You may end up missing your number one pass rusher in this game at some point. And like all of a sudden, you know, there's enough friskiness in this Titans team to be able to at least keep it close. And it would be hard for me to back the Chiefs this week with everything that's happened over the last week.
I'm going to give all y'all a stat out there that you would have never have gotten in a million years, but it is the truth. I promise you, because stats don't lie. Numbers don't lie, Mike. So this offensive line,
like numbers.
This line is an absolute wreck for the Chiefs. Over the last 4 weeks of the season, the Titans actually have the number one pressure rate in the NFL. Like they actually have the number one pressure rate. Over the last month of the season, they actually have the number one pressure rate in the NFL, and it's going to be Gardner Minshew behind a whole bunch of second and third string dudes.
Could we get crazy here? What about like
play them -3.5 or something? Play the Titans -3.5?
Titans -7.5 at 4-1. Titans -3.5 at 2-1. Like, could this just be a non-effort from the Chiefs? So, and I mean, the Titans just win?
It could be a non-effort. It could also be they don't have what it takes, right? I mean, like, again, Gardner Minshew is a backup for a reason, right? We tried the starter thing, Gardner Minshew. He's not good enough. And now it's going to be basically an entire offensive line of second and third string guys against a defense that has changed something over the last month of the season and is getting to the quarterback at the highest rate in the NFL.
Without your, without your number one wide receiver or your number one cornerback.
Yeah.
It's not crazy. I mean, it's never the Chiefs. And my numbers say I should hammer the Chiefs. It is never the Chiefs.
Let me tell you, you might have talked me into this. I didn't have anything in this game, but like maybe if I'm going to play it, I just play it like -3.5 and then -3.5, -6.5 and -7.5 and just see if we get a complete clunker out of the Chiefs in this thing.
Just play into the variance, right? Because this is a game that definitely has variance. Like there are a lot of outcomes here where the Titans do end up winning by margin. So it's one of those spots where I can't back the Chiefs with everything that's going on. It's impossible for me, especially you mentioned the offensive line. You got Minshew, all the injuries, all the opt-outs. Like it feels like a college bowl game in a lot of ways, Matt.
We mentioned the 29-18 final there, Eagles and the Commanders. Saquon ends up 21 for 132 and a touchdown. Now he did break a 48-yarder there towards the end of the game, but he was averaging 4.5 yards a carry. And you know, for an offensive line that had not allowed him to really get going a ton this season, Mike, he's over 1,000 yards, and maybe they figured something out. Maybe they're just calling some different plays because he has at least kind of been in that high 70s, low 80s and stuff like that. He's hitting a little bit more success than he did early on.
Yeah, no Lane Johnson today too. So mm-hmm. That offensive line should get bolstered. We're expecting next week you're going to see Lane Johnson back. We'll see if that actually happens now that the Eagles have wrapped up the division. Maybe you just keep him on the shelf, make sure he's healthy for the playoffs, but they should get better on the O-line as we move forward.
Chargers, Cowboys, Bengals, and the Dolphins when we come back.
To Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Ready, Set, Bet here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Matt Brown and Mike Somich. We are, call it 5-6 minutes away from kick in our second NFL game here on Saturday. Yes, we are into Saturday games. Final 29-18 Philadelphia over Washington, Green Bay and Chicago. This is a point and a half in favor of the Bears at home. I played a little nibble on the Bears, Mike. And like I said, it's more of a playing a lean so that I don't feel stupid afterwards, but it's not a go hard type of bet here for me. I do think that there's going to be some advantages here for this Bears offensive line going up against the defensive line of the Packers without Micah Parsons out there. He makes such an incredible difference. And I think that we're going to see some pretty, I think Ben Johnson also, he's really kind of found his stride here over the last month or so of the season. These rookie head coaches, him and Liam Cohen, really getting going kind of as, I'm not going to say clunky to start the season, but just, you know, whatever. It's a different deal. You got to get a feel for everything. I did play the Bears, but again, not a full-throated endorsement here.
Yeah, I don't mind the Bears in this spot. I did not bet them, but I do think that if I did pick a side here, it would be the Chicago Bears. I think that they're going to be able to take advantage of a defense that's banged up here, not just Parsons, but also Williams on the back end. I think it's interesting to look at the Bears wide receiver props here. Adunze and Burden both out for this game. Zacchaeus and Loveland, I believe, are the two that benefit the most from it. I ended up playing Loveland over 43.5 receiving yards here. I don't mind Zacchaeus over 26.5 as well, but I ended up going the Loveland direction. So just one prop for me in the game.
Chargers and the Cowboys. This is 1.5 to 2 out there in favor of the Cowboys. It is 49.5 to 50.5 from a total standpoint, depending on where you want to get that on the over or the underside of everything. We do have a couple of injuries here that we're going to be monitoring. Quentin Johnston is questionable. Trey Pipkins is questionable for the Chargers. Bud Dupree is questionable for the Chargers. On the Cowboys side of things, Tyler Guyton remains out at tackle for them. Deron Bland got moved to IR. That being said, they did get back. Oh man, I'm blanking here. I'll get it in just a second. But on the Cowboys side of things, Quinnen Williams is listed as questionable as well for this team. So something that we've got to monitor there as well. This Chargers team, Mike, offensive line is not just the worst in the league, it is the worst in the league by margin. And Justin Herbert and this defense has just been getting it done. And I think that there's, you know, something to be said for that. But when you go in, smarter people than me go in, make these composite ratings. They basically take all of the people that grade offensive lines and they put it all into one handy dandy little score. The Broncos are your number one team, and just kind of give you a comparison here. The Broncos are your number one team. Their score is a 94. The Bills are your number two team, 87. The Chargers are a 10. The Chargers are 10 in the composite number here to give everybody, like, I mean, that is worse than, so who, what's an offensive line we hate? Oh, the Bengals. So we hate Cincinnati's offensive line, right? They're 26. They're 26. They're like, I mean, it's crazy how bad this Chargers offensive line has been so far, but the defense has been very, very good.
Yeah, been a top four defense over the last couple of months here in the NFL season. Zone heavy defense, which is going to be interesting against this Cowboys offense that has those two big wide receivers in Pickens and Lamb. I think it favors Lamb more than Pickens, as Lamb is more of the zone beater, Pickens more of the man beater. Should be a good game for Ferguson as well, as he's able to try and set up into some of those zones. Total has moved up in this game, opened around 49.5, was sitting there for the majority of the week. Ticks up to 50.5 as we get closer to game time. Cowboys money coming in as well, as we were seeing 2.5s in the market. I'm sorry, Chargers money coming in as well. So we were seeing 2.5s in the market before. Now it's the Chargers plus 1.5. I agree with the Chargers move more than the total move. I do like this Chargers offense against this Cowboys defense. We talked highly of the Cowboys defense because of what they were able to do in the run stop game. This is going to be a passing offense from the Chargers. I think it's Herbert who tries to really push the ball down the field, has all of his targets healthy in this spot. I think that the Chargers are able to get it done here. So I like the Chargers side at plus 1.5. I also like Herbert passing props over. He's just going to be forced to throw the football if they want to move it. And I do think that the Cowboys push the Chargers in this game. So give me Herbert passing yards over and give me the Chargers plus 1.5.
We continue to go back to that like week 10 number here that I was talking about. And since week 10, this Chargers defense, the third best defense in the NFL. So they have really stepped up to help out Justin Herbert and that offensive line that has had so much trouble out there. They're getting it done on the defensive side. Now in come the Cowboys that on any given day can look like one of the five best offenses in the league for sure. So it's going to be an interesting matchup here, Mike. If anything, there's a lean towards the Chargers for me, because I will kind of take this defense versus a Cowboys offense that kind of shows up some days and doesn't other days and kind of up and down or whatever. But again, not in the account quite yet. And I think it probably won't be.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, to me, there's not a ton of edge here. If this was Chargers plus 3, I think you'd be running to the window, as would I.
Yeah.
But at 1.5, it's a little bit more of a questionable one. I do think this, like, I don't love teasing high total games. I think this is a comfortable teaser, like, for the Chargers as well, because even if the Cowboys are up 14, the back door very much open with this Chargers offense against the Cowboys defense. So I do like the Chargers as a teaser, like, here, if you want to get involved, but you don't want to just take the 1.5.
Cincinnati Bengals on the road at the Miami Dolphins. This is 4.5 in favor of Cincinnati. It is 47.5 to 48.5 out there in the market from a total standpoint. Of course, you know the big news here. Tua has been benched, moved all the way to quarterback 3, which means the emergency quarterback. Zach Wilson will back up Quinn Ewers for the Miami Dolphins. And so in comes Cincinnati. They will be without Noah Fant in this one. Joseph Asai is out in this thing. T. Higgins questionable with the trying to get back from the concussion. DJ Turner, all these different guys got an illness on that side of the ball. BJ Hill's dealing with an ankle injury. On the Dolphin side, Minkah Fitzpatrick is out for them. And a few different guys are listed as questionable. Jordan Brooks, Elijah Campbell, and whatnot. So, Mike, really, this just comes down to, what do you believe that Tua is actually worth to a line? Because this probably would have been about a pick, maybe 1. Now it's 4.5. Is Tua worth the play that Tua was playing? I mean, you watch the Dolphins as close as anyone as a Dolphins fan. Was Tua's play over the last 6 to 8 weeks of the season really worth 3.5 points? That's the question we have to ask ourselves.
Well, I think the harder part of the question is, what is Ewers' play worth, right? This is someone we have not seen start a game in the NFL. So what is the downgrade between Tua to Ewers? And that to me is where it's hard to really quantify it. This is a very gimmicky Miami offense, timing routes. It's being in the right place at the right time and the ball being delivered there. That's actually something Tua is pretty good at. Now, the offense has not been pass heavy over the last 4 weeks. It's been a very run heavy Dolphins offense. It's allowed them to be able to get going. I think you're going to see them try and run the football quite a bit here with Achane. He's at 82.5 on his rushing prop. I didn't bet this game because I don't know how to quantify the difference between Tua and yours. And it feels like it's actually a little short to me, to be honest, because I think that like the what Tua does well was what you needed to do well for this offense. I don't know if Ewers has that same skill set. I do think it's going to be an interesting game from Miami. Like, a little interested in Ewers rushing props. How often do we see these first-time starters, younger quarterbacks, come in and run the football? Ewers is just 6.5 with his rushing prop. If you think Cincinnati is going to be able to score and this is going to be a Miami offense that has to go blow for blow with them, Ewers is going to be dropping back to throw. If that's the case, you're going to see opportunities for him to be able to run the football.
If you believe that Ewers is going to fall into kind of a struggle bus window in his first start, there is a market low, which we rarely see this, but it's like, again, there's just going to be varying opinions as to what Quinn Ewers can do. There's a market low of 177.5 passing, Mike, and a market high of 190.5. So
it just,
again, not a huge middle opportunity, 13 yards, but I mean, if you don't really think he's going to excel, then, you know, it's an interesting opportunity that we don't get very often because the prop markets have gotten pretty sharp and we kind of know what we're going to get from most of these dudes, but there is just going to be varying opinions on a guy we've never seen before.
Well, that speaks to the variance, right? Mm-hmm. The 13 yards is actually a pretty decent size gap, right? Mm-hmm. We're talking about an 8% window when you're talking about a number as low as 173. So it's a very big gap in what you believe you're going to see from this Dolphins team. I think the game script here is going to be fascinating because if the Bengals get up early, this Miami offense chasing probably not a good thing. If Miami's able to get the lead early, this is one of those situations where I do think they can grind it out. I would almost like to play Quinn Ewers under passing yards with the Miami Dolphins money line and play into the game script of, okay, he's not going to go over because he's not going to have to throw the football. He's going to be able to essentially hand it off to Achane, hand it off to Wright, hand it off to whoever's in the backfield, be able to break bigger runs against a bad Cincinnati run defense, and then you're able to win the football game by playing from ahead, and then Ewers doesn't go over that total. So to me, if you're going to play into it, you kind of try and find some interesting same game ways to play at it. I did not put anything in this game. Again, the Ewers rush yards at 6.5, you can get plus money, like big plus money at 15. Like, that to me is a little interesting, but this is a hard one to really handicap.
177.5 is fairly tempting. I don't know if it ends up in the account or not, but it's fairly tempting. Tua was throwing for 170 a game. You can't be worse than Tua.
He could.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Technical regulations, size of what?
It's time to ask Mike Somich, what the
don't you ever touch my cup?
We've been talking a lot of football here, but we got a couple hockey games where the puck has yet to drop, Matt. So we're going to talk a little bit of hockey.
We've been talking ducks already, but it's a different type of ducks. Look at this. We've already been talking ducks.
It is a different type of duck.
Look at this.
These ones are from Anaheim. Yes. So maybe they migrate from Oregon down to Anaheim here. Ducks taking on the Blue Jackets tonight. 7 o'clock puck drop on the West Coast, 10 o'clock East Coast. The Ducks 11-5 at home. They are a fun team that is playing good hockey. Taking on the Blue Jackets, who is just not a very good hockey team. Losing record on the road, just 7-11 on the road. Ducks a short favorite. Let's take advantage of it. Let's take Anaheim Ducks -115. Also out on the West Coast at 7 o'clock Pacific, 10 o'clock Eastern, the Kraken and the Sharks head to the ice. Sharks been a very good home team, very good on the power play. Kraken struggle and the penalty kill. Not a great road team. Sharks a short favorite here at -120. So we'll take the Ducks at -115, the Sharks at -120. Both of those puck drops in about an hour and a half for our What the Puck segment.
There today. We go. Into the end zone again for the other Ducks. So, it is one of those deals going on right here. And then the Green Bay Packers get a 4th-and-1. Go for it. Don't run it. Try to pass it. Don't get it. So the Bears will take over. 0-0, 9:47. Left in the first quarter. I mean, Mike, it's again, you and I scream about this too. We scream about a lot of things. The shotgun on 4th-and-1, They know you're probably passing. I mean, it's just, you know, you're letting them know you're passing. I don't know. Just maybe you get what you deserve. You deserved it. You deserved it, Packers. You deserve to not convert.
I kind of want I have the Packers to win the division, Matt. I kind of would like the Packers to win this, but, you know.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
No, I feel you. I get it. Atlanta and Arizona. This is 2.5, 3. It's an expensive. Actually, there's only one. There's one expensive 2.5 at FanDuel, and then the rest are 3 in favor of the Falcons on the road at the Cardinals. 48 to 48.5 is our total. This is, you know, do what you want to with this one. The injury list for the Cardinals, they've got like 6 starters out, another 3 that are questionable in this thing. They move their 3rd running back to IR of the season. I mean, it's just like a complete waste here for them. Drake London might come back and play for the Falcons in this one. So if you are looking to play the Falcons, there is at least that you could look forward to. Mike, again, I said this on Wednesday. All I know is they will let Jacoby Brissett throw until the cows come home, until his arm falls off. I took the over passing yards on him. I feel fine about it because you're actually really never dead until there's like less than 3 minutes left in the game, because they just throw and throw and throw and throw and throw and let him continue to throw all over the place. And so I feel comfortable in that. Outside of that, I don't know what else to think about this game.
Yeah, worst news of the week was that Marvin Harrison Jr. likely to play. He said he feels good to go, which means we can't bet props in this game because we don't know who's going to get the football, McBride or Harrison Jr., or if it's going to be our boy Carter on the outside as well. So we've got Michael Wilson on the outside as well. So we'll have to wait until the second half. We'll be live during this game. We can talk about in-game props. It's been very good on this Cardinals team. I like the over 48. I think it's too low. If you don't want to trust the Arizona offense to score, and they have been scoring against everybody, you can get the Atlanta Falcons over 26.5. Just take the team total over on the Falcons, because as much as the Cardinals have been scoring, they've been giving up even more points. This is the Arizona Cardinals team that's last in tackle rate. It's a Falcons running back in Bijan Robinson that's number one in the NFL in broken tackles. It feels like it's not a good matchup here at all for an Arizona Cardinals team that's missing a plethora of starters. Give me the Falcons team total over 26.5. I also took over 48 in the game.
And in a battle of birds, a Falcon would definitely win over a Cardinal. Like, it wouldn't even be a contest.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Falcon would be laying a lot more than 3 in real life. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, there's a bunch of birds. I guess a Falcon, an eagle would probably beat a Falcon. No, I don't know. Are Falcons mean? Are eagles? Eagles are definitely mean.
Eagles are mean. I think eagles would be a Falcon. Seahawk. Yeah.
A Seahawk
would probably lose to both.
You know, a Seahawk actually isn't even a real bird, too. Like, you go and you look it up, and it's like, it's just a type of bird. It's just,
a hawk and a seagull could fall in love, Matt.
Yeah.
A hawk and a seagull could fall in love.
When two birds like each other, you know, we start the story with that. Anyway, I hate this game. I'm going to, you know, if I can avoid watching it in the afternoon window, I'll try to.
This will be a fun one to bet props in game, Matt.
Yeah,
this is a fun prop in game tomorrow.
Well, maybe Marvin Harrison with this heel injury will just get, he'll go out there and run 5 routes and then his heel will hurt again. And then we can just bet McBride and Wilson to just get spammed again.
And the Wilson number will be down because Harrison was in. Like, this could all work well. This could be very serendipitous. We just needed to go a certain way for us.
Jacksonville Jaguars are on the road at the Denver Broncos. This is 3.5 in favor of Denver. It is a 47 prevailing, though there are a couple 46.5s out there from a total standpoint. This just coming through as well. Mike, the Broncos activated Ben Powers off of injured reserve. That is their starting guard. So this guy's been gone for the last 4 weeks for them. Now, they are saying likely to be on some sort of pitch count as he does get activated here, but it is a unit for Denver that if we go to those like composite, you know, pass protection rankings that I was talking about a little bit earlier, they've got the number one pass protection unit as it is anyway. And now they're getting back a starter on the offensive line, which can only be good for them. What say you here? 3.5 though. So it is the hook is there.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because if it was at 3, I would lean toward the Broncos, where at 3.5, I would lean toward the Jaguars. I do think this is going to be a close football game here. It comes down to what quarterback you trust more. Do you trust Trevor Lawrence since he's gotten Jacoby Myers? He's been very efficient. Do you trust Bo Nix, who was awesome last week? Which do we get good Bo Nix, bad Bo Nix? Like, To me, this is a really tough game to handicap, especially with the Jaguars flying across the country here. A lot of seeding implications in this one as well, as well as AFC South implications if the Jags do go down. Didn't bet the side, didn't bet the total. It would be Jags or pass for me at this number. I do like Jakobi Meyers over 54.5 receiving yards. He's become the number one wide receiver in this offense. He also plays out of the slot, so he's not going to get Pat Surtain on him the majority of time. That's Brian Thomas Jr. who's going to draw that coverage. I think this is a good Jakobi Meyers game, so I'll take over 45.5 reception yards for Meyers.
Yeah, I took the 3.5. And, you know, listen, it's mainly because of what I've seen from this Jags defense, which has been just lights out. And listen, you're going to point, if you're a detractor out there and you want to point to the schedule, we have seen defenses allow bad teams to put up yards against them. We have seen defenses allow bad teams to score points against them. They have not allowed that to happen. You can only play the teams in front of you, and they've dominated these bad teams in front of them over the last 4 weeks of the season. All of those stats that me and Mike like to sit and rattle off to you, the EPA per play, the success rate stuff on both pass side and rush side or whatever, Mike, over the last 4 weeks of the season, they are no lower than fifth in any single one of those ratings. And so over the last month, they have been a top five unit in every single one of the categories that you and I like to talk about.
It's been an impressive side. Like they've just been good. And I have been slower to come around on them. And you kind of get to the point where you have to say, all right, the numbers can't lie consistently. Mm-hmm. And so you got to kind of upgrade that side of the ball for them. So it's going to be a fascinating game. And I agree with you. Like, again, 3.5, it's Jaguars, right? Mm. But I don't trust Trevor Lawrence enough to put it into the account, despite the improved play on the defensive side. The Broncos defense too, by the way, Matt, if we're talking about like recency, they haven't been great the last month or so. They're right around 19th in the NFL.
How about this?
Go ahead.
If you take out a little bit of garbage time stuff, EPA per play allowed 21st in the NFL.
Yeah. It hasn't been great. Yeah. And we thought, we would consistently have considered this team a top three NFL defense. It's not been great the last month or so. So a lot of metrics point toward the Jags in this game.
And you look here, Trevor Lawrence, again, guys, you can only play the teams in front of you. Last 3 weeks, first in Pro Football Focus grade, first in EPA per play, 9 big time throws, 0 turnover worthy plays. The other thing I do want to bring up, Mike, from a prop perspective is Bashaul Tootin got put on IR. So he's gone for the next 4 weeks. LaQuint Allen is the next guy up for them. And the thing about this is when this offense really started rocking and rolling was when they were kind of, when they started using the two back thing, right? And like, so I don't know for sure if LaQuint Allen is going to factor in to this game, but certainly something to keep an eye on, as we're saying since they do allow these in-game props now and all of that, if you start to see that he's mixing in every now and then, it's probably going to take the algo a little bit to catch up, you know, to that. And so it could be pulling the trigger pretty quick on getting him in the account.
If you want to do something pregame, LaQuint Allen 5-1 to get in the end zone.
Right.
Backup running back at 5-1 or the team that likes to switch goal line backs. And LaQuint Allen, bigger back from Syracuse, like he could be one of those guys who are like, hey, we were going to spell ETN at the goal line, let Allen get one of these carries. 5-1, not a bad anytime touchdown price.
Into the end zone again. It's 27-3, but we definitely should have these teams in the playoff.
We should. It's been fun betting the Ducks first half, Matt. I don't mind having James Madison in.
9:18 left in the second quarter. They have 27 points on the board already. It's a blowout. Why did we do this, guys? I mean, come on. What are we doing? Pittsburgh and Detroit, Vegas and Houston when we come back.
Welcome back to Ready, Set, Bet with Matt Brown and Mike Somich on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pretty simple here on Visa, the Sports Betting Network. 27-3. 8.5 left.
Barn burner.
8.5 left in the second quarter. Here we go, Mike. Oregon scoring drives. And you can call these a drive if you want to. 4 plays, 68 yards, touchdown. 5 plays, 75 yards, touchdown. 3 plays, 78 yards, touchdown. 4 plays, 63 yards, touchdown.
Not taking long, Matt.
That's not a drive. That's a stroll.
No.
They didn't have to drive.
Yes.
That's a stroll.
That's when you take your dog around the block versus like actually having to go somewhere on a dog walk.
They have
a little, you know, quick couple turns, you're home.
They have 137 pass yards and 132 rush yards already. And again, we're only a quarter and a half into the game.
It's ridiculous. I mean, it's like we didn't need two of these teams.
We didn't need
two of them. We didn't need one of them, but we definitely didn't need two of them.
I wish I could credit whoever it was on Twitter that was talking about this yesterday. And I actually think that it's a pretty decent idea. The group of five can have their own national championship. Like get their four best teams and then play your own national championship.
I mean, making another division, right? Which is, let's be honest, that's where we're headed anyway.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, these four conferences are going to end up being two super conferences or whatever you want to call it. And those that like, I wouldn't be shocked if it just ends up being the Big Ten and the SEC with a couple add-ons. And that's going to be your college football top tier level, right?
Yeah.
We could go like Premier League style and have demotions and promotions. So you can move up levels inside of college football each year. That'd be interesting.
The whole reason with the playoffs supposedly was the 12, you know, get the 12 teams in there that Mike could win a national championship, find out who the best is. Well, no, we got 10 of them. We didn't get 12 of them. Pittsburgh and Detroit. This is a full touchdown in favor of Detroit at home over Pittsburgh. 51.5 to 52.5 out there from a total standpoint. Nick Herbig is doubtful for the Steelers with a hamstring injury. TJ Watt already ruled out, still dealing with that weird collapsed lung thing after getting dry needled. On the Lions side of things, they moved Kirby Joseph to IR. Taylor Decker is questionable. Graham Glasgow is also questionable on the offensive line for the Lions, but without TJ Watt out there, little less of a concern for Detroit. And I think that's why we see this thing sitting at a touchdown, and also kind of, you know, the market verifying what you and I have said for a while about the Steelers team, that it's, you know, sometimes the record and sometimes wins and losses don't really tell you if a team is good or not. And that's kind of what we get right here, because I mean, they're full touchdown dogs in this game, where if you were just going by record and you were just going by kind of stuff like that, then you wouldn't be. What do you think here though, at a full touchdown with a couple of offensive linemen, you know, gimpy for the Lions, that could, you know, if they don't go, could certainly change the way that we think about this.
Yeah, interesting spot here for Detroit, because the Steelers are a team that I very much want to bet against. I don't trust this defense. I don't really trust this Aaron Rodgers-led offense, but the Detroit secondary banged up. You mentioned the offensive line issues there. This was sitting at 7 for the majority of the week. It ticked back down to 6.5. Those got bought up pretty quickly. Detroit got pushed back out to 7. I mean, this is one of those where like maybe adjusted parlay, Detroit down to 2.5. Maybe you want to tease it. It's not the Steelers for me. It would be Lions or pass at the 7 number. But I don't have enough conviction to get into the account.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was some digging here. Jared Goff has really just eaten in these like little intermediate routes, like right over the middle of the little short stuff. And like this, because the team is just so good after the catch. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams are just so good after the catch. You know, one being super shifty, one being incredibly fast. Over the intermediate throws, Mike, 1,254 yards on the season. That's second in the NFL. 13.1 per attempt, which is first in the NFL. 10 touchdowns, no picks, and 141 passer rating for Jared Goff on these like intermediate passes and stuff. And so I think here that even if this offensive line, even if these dudes can't go, even if Decker and Glasgow can't go, he's been eaten on these little kind of short intermediate stuff anyway. So I'm very tempted to lay it. I think if there's a teaser leg that I really like this week, this would be it. This would be the teaser leg I really like this week. I don't know what the dance partner is necessarily, but this would be the one that I think I like the most.
Yeah, like I agree. I mean, like I said, this is one that you can tease. You can adjust it down to 2.5. I just don't think the Steelers offense is going to be able to score with the Detroit Lions offense. That's really what this comes down to. The Steelers are going to have to be very efficient offensively, have to try and slow this game down, because their defense is going to struggle even with the offensive lineman missing on the Detroit side of the football. Detroit should be able to run the football. We saw Miami having a lot of running success until they fell behind and all of a sudden they couldn't turn around and hand the ball off. This is in the dome for Detroit. it doesn't feel like a game that Detroit is going to lose. I've got them at like, I think it was 7.25 in my line. So I'm right around the spread, but it's hard for me to want to lay the 7 with the injuries. But at the same time, like I said, it's never Pittsburgh.
The Raiders are on the road at the Texans as 14.5 point dogs. Do with that game what you will. I have absolutely no interest. This is put it on the rocket, fire it into the sun. This is the easy one of the week for me.
Yeah, I'm probably going to play some team total under Raiders stuff.
Yeah,
that's about it. I don't want to get too involved outside of that. Maybe look at team total over for the Texans, because we've seen this Raiders team give up 30 plus points game in and game out. And you know, your team total is sitting in the high 20s here for Houston. So I'm going to mess around with team totals, but I have not bet this game yet.
The New England Patriots are on the road at the Baltimore Ravens for Sunday Night Football. Of course, we will be in here before that, giving you a preview of how that is going to go down. But Mike, it's sitting the full field goal still in favor of Baltimore. And in my opinion, that is too much.
Yeah, I don't understand how to get there. Mm-hmm. I realize this is a banged up defense here for the Patriots, so they're going to be missing some pieces out there on Sunday night. But this is still a Ravens team that I think is just too highly rated inside the market. We saw it for week after week after week, and we saw them getting beat by the Bengals, getting beat by the Steelers. This is just not a team that I'm looking to lay a field goal with against a Patriots team that I thought played pretty well last week. Mm-hmm. Just kind of got beat by Josh Allen, and sometimes that's going to happen. So to me, it's Patriots are passing the 3.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the injury stuff. It is, you know, you do have Robert Spillane, who's out for the Patriots. He is their leading tackler. So that's obviously never good. Harold Landry, Carlton Davis, both listed as questionable for this Patriots team. We will know before, you know, obviously 90 minutes before, if they're going to be able to go out there. Chidobe Awuzie is doubtful, which means basically out for the Ravens. So they would have a starting corner down for them. Ronnie Stanley, questionable. He's questionable basically every single game. Kyle Hamilton, same type deal for the Ravens. But really, you just, as good as the defense has improved because they got healthier, Mike, the offense has just not gotten there for this Ravens team. And honestly, I don't think it's necessarily Lamar regressing. I think he's just been playing hurt. But like we mentioned, Lamar's in the bottom third of all quarterback statistics since he came back after missing those couple of games. And it's just, you know, I think he might be too tough for his own good. Probably should have stayed out a little bit longer than he did. And instead his play has suffered because of that. And I mean, we're looking like their passing EPA per play over the last month of the season. He's been back a little over a month. It's 27th in the NFL. There's only 5 teams worse than them.
It feels like he's playing injured, not playing hurt, right? Where like he is dealing with something that's not going to go away until there's something that happens in the offseason, be it surgery or just an extended period of time off. We've seen ankles, we've seen knees, we've seen hamstrings, we've seen all of these different injuries that all are relative to his legs, which really change the productivity of this offense. It makes Henry worse because you don't have to worry about Lamar taking off with the football. It means that you're not going to extend as many plays. He's not as dynamic inside the pocket, so you're not having to run up and make sure you cover the Lamar Jackson run, which allows him to take the top off the defense and go over top of those defenders. So a lot of different factors that really kind of just take the air out of this offense when you have Lamar playing under his overall capabilities. And you mentioned the defense has gotten better as they've gotten healthy. They're still not the defense we expected they were going to be at the start of the season. This is still a worse unit than what you rated them in week 1 through 4 before all these injuries started to come out. And so for me, this is just a number I can't get to, as I've slightly moved the Patriots up and I've made a big downgrade on the Ravens a couple weeks ago, because I just don't think we're going to get a healthy version of Lamar this season.
Hey, Mike, 5 plays, 80 yards, touchdown. I'll add to the list here.
It must be the Ducks.
Yeah. 34-3, extra point pending. It is 4:22 in the second. No, 34. That's up and good. So 34-3 in the second quarter. There's still 4:22 left in the third quarter.
I should have sold out more than 13.5, huh?
Should have
gone like 24.5.
What are we doing here? I mean, golly, maybe this will force change though. So at least it played out like this, because this will, in fact, force change. Of course, don't go anywhere, guys.
This can't be fun for James Madison by the way.
No, not at all. Just getting absolutely destroyed. Third and goal, incomplete for the Packers. We'll see if they go for it, if they end up kicking a field goal. Don't go anywhere. Me and Mike are going to be right here with Derek Stevens, Jeff Benson on the desk. It is the Contest Show here on VSiN.